welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
Worship Him this morning. Worship Him, worship. You are one. Worship. Glorify. You are wanting. You are. Except you really worship this body, we can't do much. You are still. Let your heart be open up to the Lord. You are what? You. Eyes lifted up, eyes. Worship Him, worship Him. You are what? Malebobobobobo shikarabasanda. Nebos kolobos karabaya. All is nothing. Except by your spirit, all is nothing. Except by your wisdom, all is nothing. Come this morning. Yes, Lord. Come this morning, Lord. Our hearts are open to you. Speak to us, Lord. Thank you, Father. Jesus' mighty name. Okay, Let's take our seat. You're all welcome this morning. How are you doing? How are you doing this morning? Sorry? No, you say, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. Amen. How are you doing? Developing emotional I'm going to be reading NASB Bible of the same Acts that we read the other day, Acts chapter 2. That's what I'm going to be reading from verse 41 to 46. I pick on this because when I saw something so close, and it said from verse 41 is breaking, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' doctrine. The first word is what? Continually. Thank you very much. Continually. Which has to do with steadfastness. And also the word importunate. They were continually devoting themselves. The second word is the word devote. They were continually devoting themselves. And devotion or devoting is gotten from the word devote. So the most important thing that you can do as a minister in training, because we are all ministers, don't let anybody fool you. No matter what you do in the church of God, you are a minister. Music, you are a minister. You are in what we call the evangelism ministry, you are a minister. Prayer warrior, you are a minister. Ushering department, you are a minister. It's not just the pulpit minister. We have two types of ministry. We have the pulpit ministry, those who stand behind the pulpit to minister, and then we have other people who do other things. Administration in the church is a minister. That is the administrator in the church. So, they were continually devoting themselves. What were they devoting themselves to? They were to what we call the apostles' doctrine. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' doctrine. That's the first thing they were devoting themselves to. And to fellowship. They were also devoting themselves to fellowship. Fellowship is a word gotten from a Greek word called koinonia. Koinonia. And it means communion or sharing amongst ourselves. Communion, koinonia. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit, that is the communication between you and the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forevermore. It's the same word fellowship
Coming from a word called koinonia, which means communion, sharing together as one body. And then from there, they were doing what we call breaking of bread, or what we know as what? The Lord's Supper. And even also to what we call prayer. The first set of people that we saw after Jesus was not the apostles in Acts chapter. They were together in one place. They were continuing together. Their continuation together means a steadfastness. An importunate is something that they do on a daily basis. Daily basis, they do that. They are devoted. They devote themselves to these things. And then, the apostles' doctrine. What is the apostles' doctrine? Jesus is Lord and Savior. What is the apostles' doctrine? The old is passed away, all things are new. What is the apostles' doctrine? Law is Old Testament, New Testament is grace and truth. The Bible says in the book of John that Jesus Christ came by the way of grace and truth. And may I say this to you? The thing about the apostles' doctrine is simply this. Grace is what we call unmerited favor. That God has come in this New Testament to give to every one of us. But grace cannot be gotten and grace cannot be acquired except you know the truth. So both of them work together. The truth works with what we call the word of God. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you or set you free. You see, the word make is better because making is a process. I wasn't built up as a Christian like this in one day. You want to make soap now? You don't put glycerin, palm oil, perfume, and all whatnot, caustic soda in one bucket, and within a minute, a soap come out. It's not like that. It is a process. When Jesus Christ told them, I will make you fishers of men, it took him 3.5 years to turn them to who they eventually become. And even after the 3.5 years, they were still hiding in the upper room. So, even if you fall sometimes, don't worry about it. I might say it is good for you to fall. I'm not saying that. But the Bible says, a just man falleth 7 times and rise up again. There were things in my life that I thought I can never go back to as a Christian. But I went back to it. And in this place, we are supposed to share the truth with you. If we're preaching at you and making you look as if everything is just going to automatically change, it is the lie from the pits of hell. Take away the reverb, please. Hallelujah. It's a lie from the pits of hell. I remember we are doing fellowship in the house of a Nigerian. I was in New York, upstate New York, and the guy smokes. And I was so upset with him because as of that time, grace has been given to me, knowing the truth, to stop smoking. So I told him, I don't want to go in his house to go and do fellowship. How can I be going inside the house of somebody who's supposedly speaking in tongues, but yet smoking cigarette? About 3 weeks later, certain things happened to me, and I found myself going back to smoking cigarette for the next 6 months. I would drive from upstate New York. I would go to Brooklyn. I'd go and be with people who have no business with and smoke cigarette. When I'm coming, all manner of perfume and all whatnot. The grace was taken away. Why am I telling you this story? It's because whatever you eventually become is grace. Amen. It is what? grace. Don't tell me that I did this, I did that, I stopped this, I stopped that. No, except that grace of God is given to you, you cannot do it. And how do you do that? You contact with the truth, and the truth make you free. And once the truth make you free, you now move from whatever level to what, into the level of grace in the truth that you just know. Hallelujah. Is it confusing? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Is that what he said? Nobody cometh unto the Father except by me. He is the living word. And he releases the spoken word into your life. The spoken word comes into your heart to convict you of sin, judgment, and righteousness. And once you know that truth, there's a change in your heart. The change in your heart moves into your deeper inner being, whereby grace is released to you. So when the enemy comes like a flood to make you do the other things you used to do, grace not to do it is made available for you. Amen. Praise God. Are you still here? Okay. So the apostles' doctrine in Acts chapter 6 verse 4, we saw something very peculiar. They were too busy here and there. And then Peter, John, there seems to be the pillar. They said, no, we don't want to be too busy. These Hellenist women, let's look for 7 people to take care of these people. But let them be people who have faith and wisdom. They have a good standing in the Lord. For our side, we want to do 2 things. Give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. So the ministry of the word is the apostles' doctrine. Fellowship. The Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, I said, until I come, see that you do this in remembrance of me. Except you drink my blood, except you eat my meat, he said, you are not part of the kingdom. He's not talking about a literal eating of his body, but an identifying of the work of Calvary. That through the power of the blood, what happened to Adam, we come into it before Adam sinned. You didn't get that. Okay. Before Adam sinned, Genesis 1:26, and God made man in his image and in his likeness. And those who are made in the image and the likeness of God, there was certain things told them. Genesis 1:26, it says, and God blessed them. The first place you see the word eulogia, blessed, is after God saw a man who walk like God, talk like God, think like God, speak like God, pray like God, empowered like God, strengthened like God. And his name is Adam, and the wife's name is Eve. They are the image, they are the likeness of God. There was no sin, there was no eating of the forbidden fruit at that time. And those kind of people, the Bible says, and God blessed them. How did he bless them? First one, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue the earth, have dominion over. The word dominion is rule. Birds of the air, including witches and wizards, fishes of the sea, including mammy waters, all those creeping things on the earth, he gave them power to rule over them. So what Christianity is all about, by identifying with the Lord's Supper, is that we partake part of that character and the image of the first man that was created, so that we can take our dominion position on earth. I am God. Amen. I'm God. I am God. Amen. And it's not a blasphemy. Because if I can walk myself, 2 Corinthians 3:18, that I can be transformed into his own image, and I go from glory to glory, wisdom to wisdom, knowledge to knowledge, power to power, holiness to holiness, righteousness to righteousness. I come to a level whereby I look exactly like him. I think like him. Somebody's at my gate. It's not a prophetic grace. I will know who is at my gate, and I'll tell my wife, Pastor Shelby is at my gate. I think he was here yesterday. That's my best friend. It was my best man when I married. I was his best man when he married. So when you see him, you see me. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So the real thing about having a devoted lifestyle is to shed your life of whatever is there so that you can put on the image of him that died for you. Amen. When you put on the image of him that died for you, you are God. Because the Bible says, let me not go there. Let me stay. Let me not go there. Praise God. And day by day, the Bible said they continued. Day by day, they continued. With one mind in the temple. Day by day, they continue. So whatever it is that they are doing, it's not a one-time thing. It's not once a week thing. It's not once a month thing. It is a day by day thing. Day by day studying the word of God. Day by day praying. Day by day seeing. These things ought not to be in my life. The day I saw the story of Moses, that was the day anger left me. 40 years in Egypt. After that, 40 years he was in the wilderness. How many years? 80 years. He led them into the wilderness again for another 40 years. 120 years. And God took him to a mountain and showed him the promised land and told him, Oju loviri ete oleba. You see, and with your eyes, you will never enter into. What did he do? Anger. God said, speak to the rock. And he took the rod in his hand because he never knew the God of the world. And the Bible said that the rock he beat was Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4. So God took him to the highest mountain, showed him the promised land. He said, because you did not reverence me, you got so angry, you are not thinking right, you did what you ought not to do. Joshua, who is a small rat, was now the person who led them into the promised land. A walk of 120 years, he never entered into the rest of it. Anger vanished. Did you hear me? Anger did what? It vanished. So the essence of living a devoted life is to become more and more like Christ and less of a person of the world. Amen? It's not in the dressing. Praise God. There are people that tie head and doesn't use earring that are very promiscuous. Whose heart is dirty and unclean. So it's not in your dressing. It's a matter of the heart. What is the state of your heart? Do you have a stony heart? Do you have a leaking heart? Parable of the sower. Do you have a thorny heart? Or do you have a good heart? And even when you have a good heart, what is the intensity of the word of God that you allow to permeate and reside and germinate in your heart? Because in the parable of the sower, we add that some grew 30, some 60, and some 100. And so those that grew 30% of the word that was given to them, they had the same opportunity that 60 will grow in them. But their heart was not receptive to more than 30% of the word that was given to them. Hallelujah. My motto is, show it to me in the scripture. And once I see in the scripture, I'm ready to receive it. For my Bible said in James chapter 1, it said, do away with all superfluity of nothingness and receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save your soul. So it takes the word of God to save you. That is an initial salvation when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And there's a progressive salvation that God saves you every day. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Who delivered us and does deliver us and will yet deliver us. Deliverance is by the word. Psalm 107 verse 20. He sent his word. And his word? And his word? Amen. Praise God. And they were taking their meal with gladness and sincerity of heart. They were taking their meal with gladness and sincerity of heart. Sincerity of heart. Now, this is something that is lacking in the body of Christ. And that is why the power and the glory of God is not residing in the church like before. What is in my mouth that I'm speaking is different from what is in my heart. And what you are speaking in your mouth must be the same with what is in your heart. Somebody did something wrong, the person walked up to you according to biblical injunction. He said, if there is any hurt between you and a person, go and meet him. If you will not listen, call two more people. Let them try to solve it. If you will not listen, call the church. Let them try to solve it. If he did not listen, then let him be anathema. Means cut off from that person. The person has come to me to say, I've forgiven you. But every time you see that person, something rises up in your heart. Every time they mention his name or her name, something rises up like anger in your heart. Listen, you don't have sincerity of heart. Christianity simply means those who are like Christ. Simple. And what I do most of the time is that whatever situation I find myself, I say to myself, if Jesus was in my predicament or situation, what is he going to do? And whenever I can determine what he's going to do, and that's what I do. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Many people will righteously say, I have not committed adultery. I have not robbed a bank. Yet, there is malice. Yet in the church, there is what we call class differentiation. Those who are using jeep, they don't talk to those who are using car. And what betides an Okada man who is in the same church to go and greet somebody using a jeep? They just say, so good morning, sir. Why is that? No. Things are not the same way it ought to be. So for you to be in this class simply means God wants to change you and also make you an author of change. That means wherever you go, you begin to propagate what you see and you live it. And my motto is this: it's not what I say, it's what I live. My wife can call the children 1 million times. Talk. And I don't have a problem with it. But my own is, let my children see me live this life and they will follow the life I live. And it never fails. So God is calling you to live that life on a day by day, they continued. It's not that they are only today and then the next day you are finding them in a party where they had no business being and shaking the body just like the other people will do. They continued day by day. As a matter of fact, instead of staying on the same level, they were waxing strong. More holiness, more righteousness. Oh, listen. There's always a God's path and there's always a man's path. the righteousness we receive, that the Bible said that we have been made righteous in Him, is what we call imputed righteousness. That's on one side. On the other side is the Bible said, work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. So that's a working out righteousness that you build into your life day by day. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The places I used to go, I go there no more. Change. Change. That is the word. Change. Change. Since I am born again. Listen, people that used to know you, they will see you. And without you carrying a Bible, they walk up to you and say, oh boy, what's happening? You are not the same person. Something about you is totally different. An aura of God comes upon you. I don't know how many times I am a person that don't like go slow. I hate it with a passion. So most of the time, the problem with other people's car is that it's suffering because of overuse. My own is suffering from underuse. I came here by bus this morning. It doesn't bother me. If there's hold up, I jump out of it and get on top of an Okada. But there was a time I was not like that. There was a time in Houston, Texas, that I lent the money on Sunday morning when people are going to church. I would take the brand new car I just bought, Toyota Corolla, all manner of things in it. I'll put it outside on Sunday morning. I will wax it for 6 hours. Because I'm going to Galveston, to the beach, to go and chase women. And God will punish me because not too far after I have waxed it and it's looking shiny. Let me quickly go to the store to go and buy something. Before I come out from the store, rain is already spoiled all the shining of the car. But you come to a time whereby you say no to certain things and yes to God. And until you determine yourself and come to a level whereby you learn to say no, you cannot day by day continue in the things you have learned. Temptations will come every day. Are you still here? Are you still here? Temptation is a daily base. It's a daily dose. That one of yesterday is going to be different from today. The Bible said, why Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil, that Jesus won the battle. And the Bible said, he left Jesus for a more opportune time. Simply means he's going to come back. And what he tempted you with yesterday is not what he's going to come back with today. And so you need to have been built up more than yesterday, so that when he comes, you can stand like Jesus said, the devil cometh, but he have nothing in me. You know, sin is like a remote control. If you have anger there, devil stands with his remote control. And that's the TV. Boom. Volume is increased. Boom. Channels are changed. Once he knew that anger is here, he will stand somewhere. It may be a bus conductor, it may be your mother, it may be your father, it may be your brother, it may be your friend. He will just stand somewhere, pop, just remote control you. And before you know it, anger comes out. Why? It is in you. What is not there, he cannot touch. Somebody didn't catch that. What is not there, the devil cannot touch. But whatever is there is what he will always come back. You know, I was looking at Hebrews 12 one day. And it said that, lay aside every weight, single, and sin, single, that easily beset you. It simply means there is always something that Satan knows that is your weak point. And once he knows it's your weak point, what happens? It will come at you every day. on that your weak point. That's why the Bible says, be immovable, be unshakable. They resist the devil, but you can't resist him until you are submitted to God day by day. I come before God every day and I submit myself. Say, God, today is your day again. See me through this day. Any temptation that will come my way, give me grace. Let me be slow to speak, slow to wrath, and quick to listen. I don't pray anyhow. I pray the word. Amen. Praise God. I do what? I pray the word. Because my Lord Jesus Christ prayed the word. When the devil came against him, he said, turn this stone into bread and eat. Lord Jesus went all the way to Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. It's a two-edged sword. When you cut it this way, the devil is still standing. You bring him back this way and you cut his head off. Sharper than any two-edged sword. That is your instrumentation in this day and hour. Devotional life. You must have what we call a meeting with the word on daily basis. Five things you must do with the word. You read the word. Amen. By the way, listen, before I forget, what I'm preaching to you this morning, the theological part of it, I'm giving it to engineer millionaire Abraham. So you can make copies of it. It is here. I'm not going with this. I just want you to listen to what God is saying this morning. Amen. I'm not going with this. I think it's about, is it 6 pages? 7 pages. At 5 naira each, that's 35 naira per copy. Buy the truth and do what? And sell it not. That's the word of God. The first thing you do with the word of God is you read. Amen. On a daily basis, you read the word. On a daily basis, you study the word. On a daily basis, you confess, you speak, and you pray the word. On a daily basis, you meditate on the word of God. And then the last, you be a doer of the word of God. Reading is just reading like a novel. Just read. Just read. Just read. What I do is that I fill my life with every gadget that is needed to help me know the word of God. I was just telling somebody yesterday, there is a new phone by Nokia called C5 series, and it comes with an 8 gig memory card inside it. I was already thinking, how many Billy Akonis message I can put on it? How many Kenneth Copeland message that I can put on it? How many kits more that I can put on it? Wherever I'm traveling to, anywhere in the world, I always have gadgets with me. iPod, phone, laptop, whatever it is that can aid me to know the word of God more. On this, my phone, I have a kit more series on it called The Glory of God. I have the Bibles there. Somebody just gave me a Bible software that has 18 Bibles in it for phone. And it's one of the reasons why I want to go and buy the C5. Not only that when I'm preaching I use this, but I don't have to be carrying a big Bible around Because when you have 18 Bibles on a small thing like this, what do I need to carry 18 Bibles for? Buy the truth and sell it now. Whatever it is that's going to help you to grow spiritually, you must be for it. When you are buying a phone, consider a phone that will help your Christianity. That will have a memory card that you can download Bibles to dictionary. Have dictionary here. On this particular phone, the message I'm preaching this morning, I can put it on Microsoft Office and from there I'll be preaching. Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Listen, the money you use to buy recharge card, if you begin to save it to the side, you'll be amazed what spiritual things you can do with the money. Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. I buy books like crazy. If you see me on the internet, I'm downloading. I'm not downloading any other thing but biblical things. You need sites that you can go to get free messages. I'll give you thousands of them. Because I know that the devil does not want me to understand the world. And the more I understand the world, the more I know the things that are readily made available to me. And the more I know what is made available to me, the more faith rises up in me. And the more faith rises up in me, the more I can become a proud owner of what the Bible says I am. The day I came across the verse of scripture in Luke chapter 1 verse 45, it said, blessed is Joseph Zechariah that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things that were told him from the Lord. I sat down and meditated on it. What is the meaning of meditation? Meditation is like an animal that goes around and pick grass. It's not eating it at that time. What it's doing is that he has 5 pouches. We call them pseudo stomach. So he just put it there. Sooner or later, you see the sheep or the animal sitting down somewhere, and he will regurgitate it, bring it back to his mouth, and begin to chew it. We call it chewing the cord. That is what meditation is all about. You sit down, take one verse of scripture, and you begin to ponder and mute in your heart on this word until a realization of what it means in the realm of the spirit comes to you. When it comes to you, faith is developed in you. When faith is developed in you, you are already a partaker of what that word said you are. I know a guy that is doing very bad in school. He had about 2 results the first year. The second year they brought him to me. I didn't have to take him to Rioke to pray. I just showed him the scriptures. Psalm 119 verse 99 says, I have more understanding than my teachers, for your laws are my meditation. So if you will meditate on the word of God, even your lecturer in school, you become more brighter than him. Because that's the word of God. And he said, his word will go forth to accomplish what he said to do. It will not come back to you void. You study the word of God. Study is that you look for materials apart from the Bible. And you sit down with them. Commentaries. Dictionaries. Do a word study. What's the meaning of the word repent? On repent alone, you can be there for one day. If you have the right biblical study material. Commentaries. Dictionaries. From repent you go to repentance. A change of mind and a change of purpose. Wherever they stand talking, when you just stand and say one or two words, they will know you know what you are saying. To study. To confess, to speak and pray. What you confess is what you eventually become. Is somebody getting that? What you confess is what you eventually become. What you speak about yourself is what you eventually become. What you pray is what you eventually become. You pray the word daily. I never cease to pray for myself that the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him becomes my own. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened, my Father. Pray the word every day. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 1. Go to Deuteronomy 28. Take it from 1 to like 13. When I get to 13, I say 14, bye-bye. You are not my portion. Praise God. Pray the word of God daily. Listen. Something the Lord made me to know is simply this. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 4 says this. Where the word of the king is, there is power. So if I continue to ingest the word of God in me and put it in my heart, what is in my heart is not only the word of God, but the power of God. Somebody didn't catch that. If I continue to put the word of God in my heart, and the Bible says wherever the word is, there is power there. So if in my heart there is no frivolity but the word of God, not only the word of God will be in my heart, the power of God will be in my heart. And anytime that I boldly stand to declare the word, it will be like Jeremiah said, the word of God is shot in my bone like fire. You'll be releasing fire to those who are hearing you. You study the word of God. You read the word of God. You meditate, ponder, mute. Talk over the word of God in your heart until it has a meaning in you. Until revelation knowledge comes to you. There's the logos that doesn't pay you that much. It is just the written word. Until an inspiration comes upon it, there is no rhema. Rhema is unveiling. When the veil over the word is taken away, apart from that, there's what we call the epignosis, a knowing of the reality of the word that God gave to the inspired writers when he was inspiring them to write the Bible. You know exactly what is in the heart of God when he told them to pen it down. Amen. Praise God. And then you become a doer of the word of God. James chapter 1 verse 22 to 25. Say, be not hearers alone, deceiving yourself, but you becoming the doer of the word of God. Doing the word of God that you know. Amen. Amen. At the same time, something else that they were doing, they were having that's what we call the corporate prayer, and that is what we call the private, and they were doing both of them. The corporate and the private prayer, they were doing both of them. They were gathered together, they were praying, they were meeting at the temple of God, they were praying. What happened to Peter and John? When the lame man was ill, they were going to the temple to pray at the hour of prayer. That's what happened to them. And it, in the process of going, the man was begging them for alms. And the grace and the glory came upon Peter, and he spoke the word of God, and the man was healed. So that is the corporate prayer. But there was private prayer. The Bible said Daniel will go into his house 3 times a day. He will face Jerusalem and he will pray. That's what we call a time of aloneness with God. Many times, what you will know about God's direction, God's vision for your life, will be in the place of private prayers. Mark chapter 1 verse 35, the Bible says, early in the morning Jesus Christ woke up and he went into a solitary place to pray. He went into a solitary place to do what? To pray. I'm not surprised that Jesus Christ will come down. And then places like John chapter 4, he will get to a place called the Well of Sychar, and he will begin to talk to a lady. The lady wouldn't know who he was, but he had been in communion with the Father. The Father has told him, on your way to Sychar, you're going to meet a lady at the well. She has 5 husbands before now, and the one she has now is not her husband. Blah, blah. Introduce yourself to her by telling her that you give her water that will not make her to thirst again. He had an understanding of the will and purpose of God for the day because he has been in a place of communion with the Father. He told Moses, he said, see that you build the temple, the tabernacle, according to the pattern that you receive on the mount. You must have a daily mountain experience with the God, you alone with God. You must be able to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. You must be able to hear what he wants you to do for that day. You must be able to pass across questions to leader and let him answer you and tell you what the meaning or what you ought to do in such situations. Sometimes I receive money, I don't know what to do with it. Not because I don't have needs, but I sense that God wants to do something about that money. This one last week, I was so flabbergasted about it. Somebody paid an amount into my account and they said, don't even try it. Don't go near that money. That money is my money. And there were needs in the house. We must come to that level. He speaks. What we do most of the time is that we get on the phone of prayer and we talk. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, I see you later. And you put the phone down. That's what we do with God. But that's not the way it is. Phone is a two-way communication thing. You speak and you allow the other person on the other side to speak. May I ask you today, what has God spoken to you this morning? I woke up a little after 2. And I've been up since. A spiritual man don't sleep at night. Somebody's not hearing me. A spiritual man don't sleep at night. I work against the schedule of the people in my house. They are watching TV. I make sure that they have all the cables and whatever it is. By 9, I was already in bed. By 2, I was already up. That's my day. I travel, went for crusade, power pack crusade every day, all manner of things happening. And the night I came back, I had a visitor from Benin. And she slept in my room upstairs. And she said that, I can't believe it when I had you put on the generator by 1:30. And the generator was on till this morning. Where were you? I said I was in the office. I can't afford to sleep. Because I said, walk out there. And except I sharpen myself, you sharpen yourself in the place of prayer. Amen. If you don't know what to pray in the Holy Ghost for the next 6 hours, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Elebosh kalabos kandalabosh kilaba. Palibosoko takalabosh shandai. Look at the devil in the face and speak some things to him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Private prayer is a place whereby you get victory. Do you remember that Jesus Christ was at the Garden of Gethsemane? And the Bible said, as he was praying, drops of water was coming out from him, sweat, and it was as thick as blood. And that was the place whereby he got the victory of the cross. Because after a while, he stood up and he told those sleeping boys, Peter and John, he said, it is finished, let's go. Because the Bible said, the angel of God came and strengthened him. When he caught a rhema of God and his will and purpose and connected with God, angels were released to come and strengthen him. He said, "It's been, yeah, your people are still sleeping." He said, "Rise up and let's go." The battle was already won before he went to the cross. The battle of your temptation for that day will have been won if you have taken time to pray. You will see where it is coming from. Sometimes it may be one's wife, not because she's a demon or a devil, but sometimes when it comes to her, just go out, go and buy something. Let her mellow down. Buy her credit. The day I bought her credit, 1,000. She was stammering. She didn't know when she began to speak in tongues. That stopped the work of the devil for that day. Simple thing. It wasn't me, it was the children. Say, "This is your children. How can they eat and leave the plane like this and go to school?" She continued and called. I said, "Devil, this morning I'm not going to allow you. You'll be so sharpened in the place of prayer that your discernment will be so sharp. You'll be able to pick in the realm of the spirit what is going on per time. You become so spiritual in nature that your carnality dies off. You become another man." Jesus Christ said something in John chapter 3. The day I saw that, I went back to look at what Elijah said. Elijah was in front of Ahab, and he told Ahab, he said, "Before God whom I stand," and he was standing before a man, but he had connectivity with heaven, that he was not really standing before that man, he was standing before God in heaven. As he was hearing, so he was saying. Jesus Christ said, "Nobody has ascended to heaven except the Son of Man, who is in heaven and on earth at the same time." Connectivity. Connectivity. It's the place of prayer. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. Nor has it entered the heart of man what God is about to do. Because now I see the glory of the manifestations of the sons of God. Imagine. They are going to come from all manner of life. Some of them will be women that doesn't understand English. They will read the Bible. They will be able to read it in English. They will not be able to read any other books in English. These are people that have taken the bull by the horn and said, "God, I will not let you go until there's a change in my life." That's what we are talking about. Two most important things: your word level and your prayer level. There are so many other things. I won't go past my time. This, like I said, is 7 pages. It's ₦5 per page. I even went back to go and do another over syllabus on what I've given to you before. It is here. And they can have it. Praise God. I want to end like that. Questions, please. Amen. Questions. Yes. Give him a mic, please. Yes.
Praise the Lord. God is in this place. He was not here yesterday. Was he here yesterday? You saw how he took from Pastor Shegun's class, took my class, and entered his own. I wish that you will be here and you'll be sensitive. See, we're not making mountain. We say that if somebody is coming late and you come late for 3 times, we'll ask you to stop coming. Because we are not interested in the crowd. God is in this place. I told you by word of prophecy before this meeting started that God said, "Gather to him the people." He said, "I will come down in the presence of all the people so that they can see me." So if you have questions, ask. But the remaining days of this meeting, well, I don't know, was it yesterday or 2 days ago that I was saying that it will keep rising higher till the last day. That's the thing with God. That's the thing with God. You can never compare the day before to this. He mentioned something, but you didn't understand what he was saying. He said, he's seeing the emergence, Abby, of a people. He was talking about you. Praise the Lord. He's the third preacher that is not a member of the leadership of platform, but whose ministry we identify with, that is saying that thing. Pastor Kolo finished on Tuesday, because he's the one taking over from Reverend today. And as I was following him, he said, just a little more, Abraham, something is about to burst forth. I pray you will catch it in the name of Jesus.
Praise God. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
My question is, when you are in a problem and you prayed to God and He said something, but because you believe that the word can change you, you are carrying it all about. Until the time that I got to know that without faith, you are stopping that thing from manifesting.
Yeah.
Is that, can I do it, like remove unbelief?
Praise God. Simple. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. The more you study the word of God, two things, the word and the spirit. By the special grace of God, the next Bible school, there are some things that God is already laying on my heart. Amen. Because I'm part and parcel of this establishment already. I know what the Lord spoke to me in my private closet. There are two things that are very important in Christianity: the word and the spirit. Very, very important. The spirit aspect of your question is, beloved, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. If you add the Spirit of God in you and you have received baptism of the Holy Spirit, the more you pray in tongues, the more faith is developed. That's the spirit aspect of it. The word aspect of it is, the more you read, study, meditate, and be a doer of the word of God, the more faith is developed in you. The day I read that four lepers, their story, and before they came, God told the servant of God, He said, this time tomorrow, bread that you are buying for 180 naira now, they be sold for 10 naira. One man stood up, he said, it's not possible. And the word of God said, He will see the manifestation of it, but He will not be a partaker of it. That word, this time tomorrow, if you know what it did to my theology, not just in receiving what to eat, but even in ministry, that this time tomorrow, when I stand to preach, fire. And this is not a matter of trying to build up myself or anything. I've seen where I was preaching, and people's eyes were open, they saw fire coming out. Are you hearing me? Build yourself on the word of God. The foundation is what? Jesus Christ is the foundation. We are built on the pillars of the apostles and the prophet. The apostles teach the word. The prophet bring inspiration unto us. After that, we begin to build blocks on it. Blocks of faith, blocks of righteousness, blocks of holiness. The more you build, the more you become like Him. The more you become like Him, the more the faith that you can stand on. But let's not also forget, the Bible says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you will tell the mountain to move. So it's not the issue of big faith. Start where you are. If you can't believe God for 50,000, don't go to the mountain to go and pray and say, God, give me 1 million naira. Because your faith is built
from one level to another. Faith of 50,000 is different from faith of 250,000. But if you can stand for faith of 50,000, before you know it, faith of 100,000 will come. Faith of 200,000 will come. From glory to glory. The word of God and praying the Holy Ghost. Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit with evidence of praying in tongues? Pray more in the Holy Ghost. Read more the word of God. Go to where the issue of faith is in the Bible. Go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See how Jesus did it. See how somebody was a virgin, was able to conceive. How was it happening? He said, simple, he said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you. That's how it's going to happen. Because when you receive the word, Holy Ghost come upon you, revelation knowledge comes upon you, faith is developed. Then you can receive that which you expect God to do for you. Understood? Anybody else? Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Sorry, sir. You were talking, you said, when you don't know what to talk about, when you don't know what to pray about, you speak in tongues with faith.
Yeah.
So I want to ask, when speaking in tongues, because this morning I woke up and actually somebody was calling me, one of my ex-girlfriends, and she was like, she has been looking for me, that where am I?
Yeah.
That she had given my life to Christ.
Yeah.
That why didn't I give my life to Christ before meeting her? And I was like, ah, it's not my fault though. That's how God prepared it. So later I saw the time was 2:30, and then I told her I just want to do something and I'm coming. I caught the call and I started praying. So immediately I got blank. I didn't know what I was praying about again. So I just started speaking in tongues. And I was speaking in tongues. So my question is, when speaking in tongues, do you assume what you want? Or you just speak in tongues for speaking in tongues' sake?
Amen.
Amen, sir.
Praise God. The Bible says those who speak in unknown tongues, they do what? They edify themselves. They build up their inner man. They are strengthened, they are fortified. You know what the devil wants to do? That lady calling you at that time will make you to remember the memorable demonic times that you had together. And then your focus is shifted from standing by faith to do what you woke up to do. But when you switch to the realm of the spirit, you reconnected back to God. Amen. You understood? Anybody, please be quick. Somebody else.
Actually,
you have a question to ask. Come and ask. No, wait. Come. The woman. Igu, igu, lembadi, igu, igu. Sorry, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Yes. Ko pada si bi ti tele ko wa gbe mi soke ju bi mo se wa tele lo won na gba ti mo gbadura yen mo ka bibeli yen gba ti mo ka tan mo wa ri pe olorun kunnu mi inu agba so mi mo agbara yen so kale gan mo wa ri pe nkan ti mi le tumo fara mi tele mo ti le tumo e gba ti mo wa tun mo e won so fun olorun pe olorun wa so fun mi pe emi ro pe boya mi mo tele ni pe sugbon nisin bayi pe die die ni mo wa ni wo olorun pe e se o pe sugbon mo fe koja ibi ti mo wa emi nkan ti mo wa fe bere ni pe se bi ibi ti mo de bayi pe se mo si mama dagba kọjá bí tí mo wà ju torí mi
praise God kò sí àyè téèyàn wà nínú kìrìsìtẹ́nì téèyàn ni máa máa dàgbà ju bó ṣe wà lọ sọ̀rọ̀ mi yé ìmọ̀ ọlọ́run ó máa ń wá lẹ́sẹsẹ ni kì í ṣe lẹ́ẹ̀kan sùn tẹ bá ti ń kà sí bẹ́ẹ̀ ni òye máa máa yé yín sí bẹ́ẹ̀ bá ṣe ń gbàdúrà sí bẹ́ẹ̀ lolúwa máa máa farẹ̀ wọ̀n yín sí so ọwọ́ yín ló wà kì í ṣọwọ́ ọlọ́run téèyàn bá ti lè jókòó máa kà tẹ bá ti lè jókòó máa gbàdúrà sí ìyanu àṣẹlẹ̀ amen.
Actually, sir, I want to ask, sometimes when I pray,
yeah,
when I pray for something from God,
yeah,
God give me another thing.
Yeah.
Is it that I am not qualified for that thing, or it's not yet time? That is what I want to ask.
Amen. It's what you needed that God gave you. Remember James? He said you ask and you do not have, because what you want to consume it on your lust. Amen. There are certain things that we think we needed, but God knows that it's not time yet. But what you need per time, the Lord will give to you. And if you think that you need that thing at that time, and God is not giving to you, you have the right to make a demand from God. Look at the Bible, there are people who make demand. Hezekiah, my senior brother, told God, I don't want to die now. Increase my life. And he was given 15 more years. And God says he's not a respecter of persons. People took God and said, God, no, you can't do this. Joshua told God, he said, I'm fighting, you know, sun cannot go down. And sun didn't go down. Midnight, sun was still shining. If it is according to his will and purpose for your life. Yeah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I've heard people say that, like, when we make demands,
yeah,
if we, I don't understand this permissive will or perfected will, because we used to hear that, okay, when Hezekiah made that demand, in that 15 years, I think he failed God or something, or he did some things that were wrong in that 15 years, which if he had allowed himself to go that time, he would have gone peacefully or something. That sometimes when we feel that we can make all those demands, it will just fall into permissive will. And if we are working for the perfected will of God, then let him have his way. I don't know how to balance that part.
Okay. There are three wills. There is the permissive, there is the good, and there is the perfect. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. The most important thing is allowing God to choose for you and not choosing for yourself per time. Are you hearing me? Allowing God to choose for you and not choosing for yourself part time. One of the greatest problems of people of your age is the issue of life partner. And most of the time, I've seen people who are in courtship for 7 years and break it, because at the end of the day, they found out it wasn't the will and purpose of God. But during those 7 years, many waters has passed underground. If you understand what I'm saying. The first thing is to connect with God to know his will and purpose. So do not be unwise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. So knowing his will will help you to understand what you need to do. Permissive, acceptable, good, and perfect will of God. There are people that whatever they are doing is because there is a lust in them, or there is a willingness which has not to do with the will and purpose of God to do those things. And God let them have it over. Look at Romans chapter 1. He said they began to have all manner of sexual activities, and God permitted them, he let them have it. He gave them over to their lust, but their end was bad. So the word of God is plain and clear. You know his will. In the word of God, you do his will. When you are not sure what the will of God is, don't do anything until you are able to understand what His will is. As a matter of fact, for me, when I don't hear anything, I don't care how bad or how big those things are, I will not do anything. There have been a brother that told me, bring my international passport, we're going to South Africa together, this is your prophetic that should bless so so and so and so and so and so and so. His mouth was so smooth, like he was a smooth operator, but I had nothing from the Lord and I kept my passport. Who doesn't want to go and eat a burger with cheese and all manner of things, travel out and all whatnot? But if I do at that time, I'll be over there doing that on my own. The Spirit and the grace for the work will not go with me. Are you hearing me? Loud and clear. There are people that traveled and they're in England now, and they're outside the will and purpose of God. And they had known before that this is contrary to the will of God. But because they want to have their own laws, they travel. When I was in Atlanta, Georgia, I knew medical doctors from Nigeria who did not pass the medical board exam in America that were driving taxi cabs. Did you hear me? Until you are certain the will and purpose, don't take a step. When you are certain what His will is, go ahead and do it. And when you think that this decision seems like it is me, because there is nobody that does not have a hidden agenda, what I want to. But when you discover it is what I want to, you better not, because God will not be there. There is a man of God that was in England, and God told him, come to Nigeria. And for 2 years he was there, and not one single ministration in 2 years. God wanted to help him, send a prophet that I know to him and said, your anointing, your grace and glory is waiting for you in Nigeria. 2 years, nothing happened. What? Outside the will of God. Kenneth Hagin of blessed memory, 12 years, started a church. It was not the will and purpose of God. After 12 years, God told him, you are not in my will. Go back to my will. Maurice Sarello, he was supposed to go all over the world doing what we call a teaching crusade all over. He stood in one place in America, had a Bible school. 12 years after, God said, that's not my will. Rick Warren had a church, and God told him, my will for you, hand over your church to that boy that you think don't know anything. Go with Maurice Cirillo all over the world for the next 6 months. He went. By the time he came, his church rose from 1,002 to over 3,000 members. That small boy, that he thought he doesn't know anything. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You must connect. It may not look like something workable. Let him work it out. Amen. Praise God. Only two more questions and then. Yeah, okay.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
There is a question Samson asked.
Yeah.
But I've not really gotten the answer to it.
Yeah.
The question was, when you are praying in tongues,
yeah,
do you have any sin in your heart? That is, do you attach that speaking in tongues to something in your heart?
Okay. When you are praying in tongues, it is the Spirit of God in you praying to the Father. He knows your prayer point more than you know your prayer point. And so he took what is in the heart of God and the will and purpose of God that he knows, and he always knows because he is God, and begin to pray it for you. There have been times that people understand what they are praying, but it's not everybody. But there have been people that as they are praying it, they really understood what understanding was coming to them in a known language what they were praying about, but it's real. But most of the time it is the Spirit of God praying for you, and as praying for you is building up your faith, is strengthening your inner man.
Second question, sir. Is it possible for God to speak 2-3 different things to somebody in a day?
About the same thing or different things?
Let me just use the example of what happened yesterday. Yesterday I was in the shop. Something said, take your Bible. And I picked the Amplified because it has been split out. I just picked one of it. When I was reading, it was about Jesus Christ, how he left how he crossed over to his own town. When he got there, he was now preaching. They were all amazed. They were now wondering, how did he get the power to do this and to do that? Later they said, is he not son of Joseph, the carpenter, whose brother and sister, and because of that, they started throwing him stone. Then he now said, you are being hated for me. I dropped it. I continued doing what I was doing. I was like, I don't understand. Later when I got home in the evening, I refused to shout with him. I just went in and lied down. Again, I picked the Bible. It was, not today, these days you will know that I am in the Father. I live in the Father. I am in you and you are in me. Or I am something like that. I said, Nathan said, that means you are three in one. Okay, I was not asking, how can I be three in one? Later he took me to where he said, I will ask the Father that I will be the Father to send you a comforter and he will abide with you. I said, so, okay, because he's abiding with me, that means I am now three in one. Later in the day again, around midnight, I now woke up again. Said, God, what do I do now? If I want to study, I feel like sleeping. But when I want to pray, I feel comfortable. Okay, what do I pray? So it was now all this manner of things that does not concern was just coming. Then I was praying concerning them. Later I started speaking in tongues. I said, I don't know what I'm speaking again, oh God. I wanted to come back to. Later I went back to the Bible. It was another thing entirely. I was like, but as we were sitting there, it was like the whole thing was now come back. Was, can God speak 3, 4, 5 words to somebody in a day?
God can speak 20,000 words in a day. But whatever he speaks is teaching you and also bringing a message to you. You see, when he said you are three in one, you should be able to understand. First Thessalonians said that God should sanctify us wholly, body, soul, and spirit. God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, the three of them, your body, your soul, and your spirit, you are three in one. God is speaking mysteries to you and is expecting you to understand. There is a time that you feel comfortable about praying. Don't go to the world. If you go to the world, there is a stumbling block there. You must be able to follow what the Spirit wants to do. God is just trying to lead you to make you understand his will and purpose pattern. But the words that he has given to you, see me afterwards, you don't understand at all. Because there are certain things he's trying to make you know. And it's not for the general populace. We talk only one more so that the next speaker can come. Yeah.
My question is, once you become a Christian,
yeah,
is it that the devil can no longer tell you to do something again or like commanding you?
Yeah.
And if possible, how many spirits is now living in you?
Praise God. Hallelujah. I was in Pastor Okolo's church on his birthday, and I thought that would just allow us to eat rice and let us go home. Only for him to begin to preach about carnality and the flesh. And I enjoyed myself that day. It was more than the rice. You see, there are two natures. And the old one and the new one, they are there. You are a carnal person before you become a spiritual person. You are in the old before you become the new. Paul had a problem. In Romans chapter 7, he said, that which I will to do, I do not. That which I will to do, I do not find myself. Who is going to help me from this nature? Galatians said, the flesh lusted after the spirit, and the spirit lusted after the flesh. And your decisions are not free from doing what this one wants you to do, or this one wants you to do. But you are in the flesh before you become in the spirit. The more the spirit builds up in you, the less Satan takes advantage of your flesh to do that which you ought not to do. Temptations will come to you every day. You cannot. Temptation is not sin. The obedience to the temptation of Satan to do what he wants you to do is sin. But temptation itself is not sin. When you are tempted and you do not do, you are walking in the spirit and you are not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. But don't forget, the Bible said, a just man falleth 7 times and rise up again. There is nobody here that's not falling to the temptation of Satan, or that may not fall. But don't forget, the Bible said we have an advocate with the Father. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because what the devil would like to do is that if you do something wrong, he wants to capitalize on it. He wants to capitalize on it. But Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Once you confess your sins, it is wiped away. But I will not be tempted, that's a lie from the pits of hell. Do you understand? Eyes closed. Just pray that God will give you grace to live this kind of life.
Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this morning and for showing us the pathway to living a devotional life. We trust in your grace, O God, that we will be able to do as we have had, and that more importantly, as you have been showing us, you will further make it clear to us the steps, one by one steps, that we would have to take to accomplish this purpose in your heart for us, in the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone who has struggles with one thing or the other, habits or certain things that they have built over time, Lord, we receive grace together to conquer all such manifestations of the flesh, and that your spirit and your word will gain ascendancy in us, and that it will override our flesh and bring to pass your purpose for our lives. We give you all glory for what you have done and for what you will yet do in the coming session. We appreciate you, our Father, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I'm going to invite Pastor Okolo now for... Okay. Meanwhile, I wanted to make sure that I sensitize us again. Please, don't be interested in mere knowledge. Always press in for action. What am I going to do? I have been trying to do these things. This is where I get stuck. How do I move from where I get stuck? Insist on action. The challenge has always been, do all the 5 steps, all the 4, on what you should do with the word of God, and then you don't pass the 5th step, which is to actually do. You still get nothing. So please, let's make sure we don't stop at knowing or hearing, but devising the mechanisms, the plan, the steps that we are going to take that will make us do what we have learned. It is when we have done it that we get the results. And of course, faith will build from one level to another. I hope that is clear. I hope that is clear. Okay. So now, let me leave you now.
Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. I am certain that it is clear to you that from the day one of this meeting, all the teachers have been saying the same thing, except that they are talking on different aspects of the same thing. Please, you take one more lesson now when Pastor Okolo comes up. Then we'll go on a short I think the break, about 30 minutes break. Then we'll come back with, what's the next topic? How to study your Bible. After which, we will then take the matter of personal evangelism. Amen. I want you to pray and ask God to continue with you. I kept telling you, God will not say he wants to meet with you for 2 weeks. And after 3 days, you'll not be scratching his head over what to say. No. No.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on 080-3348-0358, 080-8133-8536, 080-7455-8177,
081-409-9123-1, or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life